From this topic, a work in progress, a work in progress. Will you pray with me? Now, gracious God, the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts, be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The gospel lesson for this Sunday of Lent is the second chapter of the book of St. John, the second chapter beginning at verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple. He found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that what was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up." The Jews said to them, "The temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture, the word that Jesus had spoken. Give thanks for God's word to us. It ought to be a very important part of our Lenten journey to get our hearts and minds around the meaning of the church. It is important because it can become the church. It can become something that we just do on Sunday. It can become a ritual without spirit and without meaning. These thoughts concerned a pastor of a church, and she was very concerned that the church was becoming too stuffy and could use a gift of friendliness. And so she announced that next Sunday that everyone was going to stand and shake hands and greet each other at the close of the service. At the close of the service, one man said to another, "Good morning." And the other man said, "Excuse me, this friendliness stuff wasn't supposed to start until next Sunday." Or those children sitting in the pastor's Sunday school class, and one of them said to the pastor, "Pastor, can you hurry up? This stuff is boring." A friend poked him in the side and said, "Will you be quiet? It's supposed to be boring." On a different note, that story told about two mules who were standing before two full haystacks, and they the mule could not choose which one to eat from. The mule starved to death. In the church, it is possible to never really commit one's self and to end up starving spiritually. Here in the church, we're trying to get our handle, trying to get a handle on what it really means. The life and ministry of Christ always seem to stir controversy. But let's take it one step further and say that Christ wanted to stir our hearts and to stir our minds. And so we have the cleansing of the temple. We could say of this that Jesus got angry. And so it justifies the times when we get angry. Or we might say, Jesus was human. And when we do things like this, it's all right because we can say, I'm only human. We can go further than this and on another level say, When did this really happen? For in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they place it at the end of Jesus' ministry. And they say at the end, it was the final straw. And it's true, from that moment, people sought to kill him. But John places the story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so let's see. Let's see if we can sort this all out. Was Jesus human? Yes. John 1:14 established that, and the Word became flesh and dwells among us. From the very moment, from this very moment, Jesus is seen as human. Jesus is seen as what is the fulfillment of what the prophets declared. One of my favorite prophecies, that of Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by others. A man of suffering, acquainted with grief. For some 2,000 years, there had been this prophecy that one was to come. But we also talked about in Bible study last Wednesday. It was Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We're having it again this Wednesday. Excuse me, Aaron, go on. But we talked about last Wednesday that in the covenant with Abraham, also, this promise was made. And so you add another 2,000 years. And so for 4,000 years, there was the promise that the Christ was coming. And when the Christ comes, he would be everlasting. When the Christ comes, this would be our gift. When the Christ comes, he would come in full humanity. And yet Christ gets angry. It is something to think about. Jesus taking whips and cords and overturning the tables, driving people out of the temple. One commentary suggested that Jesus did not have to use whips or cords. But Jesus just stood in the door of the temple, and the light of God shone so much through him that the people just ran away. No matter how it happened, there is this meaning. Jesus would not stand by and see injustice. I wanted you to be sure and hear that. This meaning that Jesus would not stand by and see injustice. Jesus would not stand by and see institutions so locked in itself that it was oppressing people. William Barclay said, Jesus was moved to the depths of his heart. Moved to the depths of his heart because there were those seeking God. And they were being shut out from God's presence. Jesus was angry. And Jesus would not stand by. You and I ought to be able to work out our conflicts without the kind of human anger that can only lead to destruction. But when we see systems that are corrupt, when we see power that is being misused, then we ought to get angry. We ought to get angry. It would be easy to say, I have food, so I won't worry about those who are hungry. I have clothes, so I won't worry about those who are naked. I have a home, so I won't worry about those living on the street. Instead, I think we need the heart. And I thought about this image. You remember Wizard of Oz? I think we need the heart of the Tin Man. You remember he was searching for a heart and he finally received that gift in the form of a heart. And then he said, as Dorothy was preparing to leave, now I know I've got a heart because it's breaking. I know I have a heart because it's breaking. Our heart ought to be breaking. Our heart ought to be breaking because of so many of the conditions that we see. So many of the conditions that we see. And we're angry enough to work for change. Well, when did this happen? At the beginning of Jesus' ministry or at the end? Let me say that I agree with those who say it is not important when it happened. It is important that it happened. Not important when it happened, but important that it happened. Christ had the authority to stop it. And we have authority today. We are the body of Christ. We have authority. We have authority today. I tell this story often, and I'm sorry if you've heard it before, but I tell it often of that story of the church that was having service, much like we are now. And in the midst of the service, a man walked down the middle aisle and he sat at the altar. He was dirty, unkempt, smelled bad, but yet he walked down the middle aisle and sat at the altar. The people wondered what was this all about, and they wondered because the altar was so precious and this man seemed to be ruining everything that the altar stood for. And then they saw one of the older members get up and walk up to the altar. And of course, people thought to themselves, well, what else can he do? What else can he do? But only take the man away. What else can he do? But the man sat down beside him at the altar and said, No one should have to worship alone. Isn't that the kind of church we would want to be? Isn't that the kind of church that we would want to be? If we are that kind of church, then we are relevant to the needs of people. Then we are relevant to what the gospel talked about: love one another. Then we are relevant to a world that is hurting, a world that is broken, a world that is very much in turmoil. Open hearts, open minds, open doors is what the United Methodist Church adopted. I believe even more, it is what we must adopt. This is a wonderful church family. And the message and the word needs to be shared with so many more, that this is the church, relevant to the needs of people. Let it be so, we pray. Amen.